The Life of Christ in Stereo. Four inspired voices testify as one. Based on the book, The Life of Christ in Stereo, republished as The Greatest Story. Session 11, Life of Christ in Stereo, Chapters 16 and 17, or The Greatest Story, Lesson 20. On the Way to Jerusalem. The events in this section occurred between autumn of AD 32 and spring of AD 33. If you meet in a group, then ask, what did you learn that was new, helpful, or important? And then, what questions do you have about what you read? We are completing the fifth section of this book, Moving Towards the Cross. The apparent order of events is as follows. Jesus had claimed equality with the Father, whereupon Judean leaders sought to harm him. So he escaped beyond the Jordan River before returning to Jericho City and then coming to Bethany, where he raises Lazarus back to life and then escaping to Ephraim town. Life of Christ in Stereo has Bethany before Jericho. Note the location of Jericho, some 20 miles or 30 kilometers to the east of Jerusalem. What do you see in this picture? Who is this woman? What is she doing? Reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 11, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This was the same Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was sick. Bethany is located some 2 miles or 3 kilometers from Jerusalem. What do you see in this picture? What is the young man saying? The sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness will not end in death. Instead, it will show the glory of God, and through it, the Son of Man will be glorified. Who is this Son of Man? Jesus stayed 2 more days where he was. Afterwards, he said to his disciples, let's return to Judea. Rabbi, the disciples replied, not long ago the Judeans were trying to stone you. Why are you going there again? Then he added, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. I am going to wake him up. Well, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, then he will get better. Jesus had spoken of his death, but his disciples thought that he was talking about literal sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I'm glad I wasn't there. Now you will have the opportunity to believe, but let us go to him. Thomas, also called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, let's go too, so we may die with him. Why did John note Thomas' other name, Didymus, which means twin? Note the location of Bethany, to the east of Jerusalem on the other side of the Mount of Olives. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days. Since Bethany was near Jerusalem, less than 2 miles away, some Judeans had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother's death. As soon as Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she hurried out to meet him, whilst Mary continued sitting in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Yet even now I know that God will give you anything you ask for, implying, so why didn't you come? Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Well, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the end of time, Martha replied. By resurrection, she was referring to the future event when all human beings will live again. So, what is the future for us Christian believers? Well, we know that we must die, but go be with the Lord, where we will have an interim body someplace in heaven. We will enter the New Jerusalem, rejoicing with angels, before we return to earth with Jesus in the sky. At that time, we will receive our resurrected, glorified new bodies, and He will reward us for anything good that we had done on earth, whereupon we shall reign with Jesus for 1,000 years in His worldwide kingdom, and then continue to live with Him forever in a new heaven and earth. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live, even if he should die. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she answered. "I too have believed that you're the Messiah, the Son of God who was to come into the world." When the Judeans who had come to the house to comfort Mary saw her get up quickly and leave, they followed her, thinking she was going to the tomb to weep there, which was their custom. As soon as Mary reached Jesus, she fell at his feet. "Lord," she said, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died." This is a different sister, but the same mild reproof. When Jesus saw both her and the Judeans weeping, he sighed deeply and was troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Lord, come and see," they answered. And Jesus wept. Yet some of the Judeans remarked, "Couldn't the man who gave sight to the blind have kept this man from dying?"
"Why did he not do so?"
Well, why did Jesus allow Lazarus to die? Well, here are some suggestions. First, he wanted to reveal his divine power over death. Also, to prefigure his own resurrection, which would occur 3 days after being dead in a tomb. Then, he wanted to provoke hostile authorities to take action against him in Jerusalem. And then, to comfort us when we pray for sick folk who die anyway, and to strengthen our hope in him, an actual cave tomb with a rolling stone cover. Jesus sighed deeply once more as he came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone covering the entrance. "Take away the stone," Jesus said.
"Lord, by this time there is a stench," replied Martha, the dead man's sister. "It's been 4 days."
Now, a cave is cool and safe from beasts. The stone was there against the stench and to keep out thieves, for anyone who could afford a stone tomb was likely buried with riches. What do you see in this picture? What is Jesus saying? "Didn't I tell you," said Jesus, "that if you believe, you would see the glory of God?" So they removed the stone from the place where they had laid the dead man. Jesus looked up to heaven and said, "Father, I thank you that you heard me. I knew you always hear me, but I said this because of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you really sent me." Can a corpse hear the voice of Jesus? Then Jesus shouted, "Lazarus, come out!" The one who had been dead came out, wrapped tightly from head to toe in strips of linen, and his face wrapped with a cloth. "Take off the grave clothes," Jesus said to the people there, "and let him go." Now, remember, resurrection is to receive a glorified new body, whereas a resuscitation means to come back to life in our natural body. Many of the Judeans who visited Mary and saw what Jesus did believed in him. But others went to the Pharisees in Jerusalem and told them what Jesus had done.
The chief priests and the Pharisees called it a meeting and said, "What are we accomplishing? This man is performing many miracles." As leaders, they were assessing the strengths and threats in their situation. Now, leaders in any organization make use of certain assessment measures. In a situational analysis, they look at their strengths, what they do well, and at their weaknesses, which must be improved. They look at opportunities, which they might buy up, and they assess threats, which could harm their endeavor. They're asking, what must change? Having identified needed change, they then ask, is this both important and urgent? If so, the leaders must take care of it. If it's important but not urgent, then they can delegate it to an assistant. If it is urgent but not important, then anyone can be assigned. But if neither urgent nor important, then it may be deferred. So, whom will they appoint?
If we let him continue, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our temple and our nation.
Now, this was a real threat, for less than 40 years later, the Romans did come, destroy their nation and their temple. Now, they are appealing to basic human motives, of which there are four. If you have hope, then you will strive for a better future. If you are angry, then you will strike out against perceived enemies. If you have suffered loss, then you will seek to restore those losses. But if you are fearful, then you will seek to avoid further loss. Now, who are these distinguished-looking gentlemen? One of them, named Caiaphas, was high priest that year.
"You know nothing," he told them. "You don't see that it's necessary for one man to die for the people, so the whole nation won't be destroyed."
Now, Jesus had not yet become the apostle and high priest whom we confess. Now, Caiaphas did not say this on his own, but as high priest that year, he was prophesying that Jesus would die on behalf of the nation. To speak for God is to prophesy. Now, he was fulfilling four biblical offices. The office of prophet, speaking to people on behalf of God. He was, of course, a priest, speaking to God on behalf of people, as well as functioning as a king, ruling over people for God, and as a sage, training people how to live for God. Now, what is the importance of this town in the West Bank, today called At-Taiba? From that day on, they discussed how they might kill him. That is why Jesus stopped walking around openly amongst the Judeans and instead left and went to the town of Ephraim in the region near the desert. Ephraim is possibly ancient Ophra or Afra, today At-Taib, a town about 15 miles north of Jerusalem. Should you choose to continue with this course, then visit our website, locis.site, locis.site. Then, read or listen to The Life of Christ in Stereo, Chapter 18a, or The Greatest Story, Lesson 21. Then, be ready to share your insights, queries, and objections with others.